What's up, everyone? This is your host, Marco.
And this is your host, Clayton.
And you're listening to
the Free Dental Podcast. Oh, that was terrible.
There we go.
Better. Boom. That was kind of okay.
If at first you don't succeed,
just quit.
Yeah, just give up.
Stop. We are here to encourage you to go to dental school.
If it doesn't work out the first time, you can either listen to some of our other episodes where everyone encourages you to go. Or you could just not. You get a solid corporate job doing something.
This is the most depressing intro that we've ever had.
And you're listening to the...
Oh, gosh. Okay, so what's been going on, Marky? What's been happening?
Well, we all know that 2020 was a rough year.
It was awful. It wasn't just rough. It was complete garbage. It was a dumpster fire.
Absolutely, and it's starting to be that way. So what was it? The 2021 job report?
Yeah.
It just
came out today.
So that dentists have fallen to number nine.
Nine.
Nine. That's eight more than one.
I think. I can't math, but that sounds correct.
Of top 10 jobs in America. Now, where is that relatively, Clayton?
So, I think everything is above dentist at this point, like trash truck driver and everything. So, dentist last year, number two. So, we've gone from number two to number nine. Big drop there. Number one, PA. This isn't the pre-PA podcast. Pre-dental podcast, because dentistry's the best.
I know. We were number one in 2017, which was a big year for a lot of people.
We peaked.
That was when we peaked. That's
weird. It's all downhill from here.
So, I don't know. Maybe it's because they had offices closed for several months.
I'll tell you who was ecstatic. My freaking wife, because nurse practitioners are like number three or something. And she
got a wife now?
Yeah, wife.
Still?
Ring
on. That's crazy.
It's been like a month, so I can't believe that we're still together.
But it's actually been a couple days, but we're going to release this episode weeks later. So
In the time of
you hearing this, it will have been a month.
Look at this. Software developer. What are they developing?
Software, yes.
My gosh, I don't even know what that means. Nurse practitioner three. Okay, this one's made up. Medical and health services manager. That's not even a real job.
If you are a medical and health services
manager, please contact us.
Please let us know like what you do with your life. Because, I agree. I don't think that's a real job. We're going to get such a nasty letter or email.
Oh, it's so bad. I am a medical and health services manager.
Let me tell you what I do.
It's important. Nothing. It's important what I do.
So,
physician's number five.
Okay, we're just going to go through the whole list.
God, I'm upset.
Okay. Well, I'm not upset because 2020 was a year of growth and record setting on my end.
For what are you? Oh, gosh. Marco dated someone for a whole 2 days or something like that.
Hey, it was 2 months, and that in Marco time is like...
years.
A whole marriage.
Decades, almost. Marco is basically married, almost.
But we're here, ladies.
But yeah, that record's no longer still going. It's broken.
No, she was a great person. Just
broken, just like her heart.
God, this is the worst intro we've ever done.
That's so bad.
Well, anyways, a bad intro for a bad individual.
Exactly. The worst person we've ever had on this podcast we are interviewing today.
It's very fitting, boys. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I appreciate that.
There he goes.
That piece of garbage.
Is it Johnny Bravo? No.
It's freaking...
He's the New Jersey Johnny Bravo, and his name is Aaron Connell.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for having me, fellas.
It really is a pleasure to have you here. We've been talking about doing this episode for a very long time, so I'm glad that we can all sit around with our beers, or in my case, a San Pellegrino, and get this episode rolling.
Yeah, Marco, after my wedding, decided to be sober because, well...
let the wedding
pictures mistakes speak. were made.
Let the wedding pictures speak for themselves.
So Aaron is actually our harshest critic, which we absolutely love because everyone in our class gives us a bunch of crap for having this podcast, but Aaron is top.
Yeah, I'm just pushing you guys for greatness here, you know? I see you guys paddling around, having fun, and I was kind of jealous, and I wanted to get in on it, so here we are. Glad to be here. Glad to do this with you guys.
Glad to have you here.
And it's nice to hang out, boys. I feel like we haven't done this in a while.
I know.
You know?
Yeah, we're all split up. COVID had us split up, and we're still split up.
So, for starters, who are you?
So
for our viewers that don't know you like we do.
Oh, okay. Nice, nice.
We know you.
Oh. Do you think that? So, yeah. So I'm a second year student. I'm in Marco and Clayton's class here. I'm from New Jersey, so a long way from Louisiana here, and these boys were telling me that's the worst state available to live in, but Arkansas is pretty far down there as well. So
that's true. I can't argue with that.
Well, awesome. So to kind of get more of your background story here, what did you do before dental school as far as like undergrad on?
Okay, yeah. So it's been a long time coming for me to get into dental school here. So I finished up my bachelor's degree in 2013. So I went to school for a bachelor's degree in biology. I finished up not too hot. My GPA was a little low. And I know I still wanted to go to dental school. So I was thinking to myself, really, what can I do at this point to kind of boost my resume a little bit, make me a little bit more competitive. So after my bachelor's degree, I decided it was a good idea for me to go get my master's in biomedical sciences here.
So what does that entail? Like, I'm not familiar with like what a master's in biomedical sciences really is.
So our program, what we did, we took classes alongside a medical school program. We shared some courses like anatomy, physiology. We did some genetics things. You can do a thesis or non-thesis. I chose non-thesis. But it was a great program. I did that for 2 years and just pretty much just getting to the nitty gritty of the sciences. So take your undergrad degree, take your basic science courses and kind of up them a little bit more. So it helped me prep in terms of studying habits, helped me prep in terms of just getting myself prepared to do the courses that we do in dental school, because the med school classes were very similar to what we take in dental school.
Definitely. So how does it work? So when you get your master's, does that GPA replace your undergrad GPA? Does it add on top of it? How does that work when you get your master's?
So I think every school is a little bit different. Some schools, will, like Clayton was saying, they'll take both of them and kind of average them out. I believe at LSU they took my GPA for my master's degree because it's a little bit more focused and, like I was saying, a little bit more higher scale classes than the undergrad degree there.
And you're probably a little bit more mature by that point, too, and taking...
Yeah, I think I took it a little bit more serious. I think in undergrad, there's little extracurriculars there, yeah. having a little fun, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what undergrad's for. You know, you're supposed to have fun and then go get your master's, and that's what helps.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So it definitely helped out. I think it gave me a little bit of help in specific classes that we took in dental school to where I can offer my help to other people, because I was a little bit more well-versed in some of the topics than other people. So it definitely helped.
Yeah, just for example.
Yeah, just a little bit. Like in a gross anatomy, he's walking around telling us what everything is. I've never heard these words in my entire life. And Aaron just spitting stuff out like he's a freaking anatomist.
Yeah, so part of my master's, I got an opportunity to take a anatomy physiology course with the med school. And that involved learning from cadavers, and it was a great program, but we did the entire body there, so that took almost the entire year to do. So luckily I had that experience to where the dissection was there, and we did both the didactic portion and the practical portion. So I was able to offer some services to some of my classmates that were willing to listen to me for a couple hours at a time, go through all the cadavers in our lab.
Yeah, as someone who has sat through Aaron's tutoring sessions,
I can
definitely say that they were helpful. Like, as much smack and flack as we give this guy, like...
Incredible, dude.
If there's one thing in life that he's good at, it's anatomy.
I'm happy to help. Happy to help, boys.
So, would you recommend a master's program for people going to dental school?
I think it all depends. Depends what situation you're in. It depends. If you are an undergrad and you have really good DAT scores, maybe not. Like, let's say if you're undergrad... GPA is a little bit low, but your DAT scores are pretty high. It all depends situationally. To me, my undergrad scores were a little bit low, my DAT scores were a little bit low, so I was like, this is probably for me. I think every situation is a little bit individualized, so you got to take it for what it is, but I think it helped me a lot, yes.
Has your master's program hindered you at all?
I don't think so. I mean, other than the financial obligation towards it, but other than that, I don't think so. I think taking those 2 years really helped out too, because Clayton and Marco were joking around at that point, but I think it helped me mature a little bit and kind of helped me kind of get my study habits in order for me to succeed in dental school.
Definitely. So has it led to other opportunities while you've been in dental school since you do have your master's?
Yeah, so after my master's degree, I still wanted to apply to dental school, and I was thinking, like, well, what can I use this for now? So A local university in New Jersey, I contacted them about an adjunct position about teaching anatomy physiology. So I applied for that job, and I got in for my first semester teaching in person. And part of the reason I wanted to do it is because I hated public speaking. I hated getting in front of a crowd and kind of talking to people. So I'm like, you know what? If I can get in front of the room and kind of control the room and get over that fear, and I'm helping people kind of learn the process, that's an awesome situation for me. And as well as another thing that I like, the reason I like to do it is because a lot of those students are reluctant to reach out to their professors at the time. So me being a younger person, just graduating and helping the students out in that regard too, helping them through things, not just with anatomy physiology, but other sciences, kind of career advice, stuff like that, I think that could help them out too. So I went that route, which was fantastic. I still do it too today.
It's awesome. So I'm assuming it's all online now, especially
all
if it's through the
now.
Same university.
Yes, sir. All online now, which is nice. It's a little bit of work too. I mean, you know, with the Zoom lectures and everything. Luckily, I can pre-record everything and put it online for them to check out, which works out great in my favor because, you know, with dental school, we don't have much time to kind of do much outside of dentistry.
Right. How has the anatomy experience been with that?
It's neat. You mean the online learning? Or?
Yeah.
So that's a little bit different. You know, we don't necessarily go into the extent that we do in dental school, so we don't have the cadaver portion of it, but the section that I teach is more more systems based. So we're pretty much discussing all the major bodily system, cardiovascular, respiratory, stuff like that. So we don't have the kind of hands-on lab, but we kind of make do with what we can.
That's awesome. It sounds like a really, I mean, it just seems like a good experience too, because you're constantly reviewing all of this material, so it helps you out in dental school too, I'm sure, especially when we had physiology and all of those courses. So I'm sure that's helped tremendously. Yeah,
I'm sure you're going to crush boards with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. And like I said, once again, I'm happy to help other people in my class if they ever get stuck on anything. It's a good experience and good things to kind of, I can share the wealth a little bit.
If y'all haven't already picked up on it, Aaron loves to help people.
Yeah.
Like, he's always willing to help. Like, whoever needs it, if people don't even need it, he still wants to help them. So it's great guy.
Yeah, and he became an Episcopalian by the end of it.
Oh, yeah, that was part of it there.
He got the Episcopalian Award from Gross Anatomy.
That's the only word I actually need to, I can understand and say, it's just help. So yes. I just mentioned it 95 times.
Exactly.
So. No, it's actually, Escalapian?
Esculapian? I have no clue how to pronounce it.
It's the Escalapian Award, I think.
It is.
And Aaron was awarded that, voted on by our class as being the most helpful in anatomy and tutoring everyone. So
So why did you decide to come to LSU instead of staying up north where you should have?
Okay. Well, you know, I just wanted to meet these two boys and kind just pick on them all the time. No, so I wanted to kind of widen my horizons in terms of applying to different schools. I applied in two cycles. The first cycle I didn't get in anywhere. The second cycle got a couple things going on, but my first cycle that I applied was pretty much all strictly Northeast schools, so in my area up there. I didn't really hear anything back, no interviews, so I'm like, you know, I should probably widen my horizons a little bit, when I'm glad I did that. And a lot of it kind of comes down to it when you're applying, you think, you know, the local schools for me, that's it. And then after you maybe don't get in there, okay, well what is important to me? What do I want out of a school? And then you look at different things like curriculum, you look at tuition payments, you look at living in a different part of the country, which is great, and that's kind of what I'm happy that I did. So all those things kind of come to mind. And then like just having that experience kind of under your belt, a lot of people are not necessarily afraid, but they're comfortable where they're at, and that's kind of where they want to be, and I wanted to change that a little bit and maybe just be outside my comfort zone for a little while, just to experience a different part of the country.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, we didn't have as much of a change as you did, but even coming from Arkansas to here was a bit of a growing experience. Because, I mean,
It's still the South, but New Orleans specifically, just the culture is totally different. Even being the South, it's still totally different from the South.
Yeah.
So I cannot imagine coming from up north to New Orleans. I would just be in total shell
shock. Yeah, it's like, what, 1,000 miles? If not more.
It was like 1,300-mile drive, it was about a 19-20 hours without stopping.
Oh, no.
So it's quite a long drive, but that's okay. But yeah, I understand what you guys are saying. It's a little bit different from where you're from, but like, I guess everywhere, even if you're, well, you're 8-10 hours away from here. Yeah. So yeah, it's going to be a little bit different. So
when you're looking at like housing and stuff, and you're trying to figure out where to live, and you're from, you know, 20 hours away, how was that process? How did you do that?
So I actually had a buddy that lived in New Orleans down here, and I flew down, I want to say the March before the year of interviews. And he kind of showed me around and introduced me to a couple areas and stuff. Like, oh, this place is good. This place looks nice. These neighborhoods look nice to live at. And then during my interview time, I talked to some of the students that are upperclassmen. Oh, where do you live at? What are you thinking? And then we used kind of the apps like Zillow and all that kind of stuff just to check things out. So, I mean, it does take, it's a big kind of leap because you've never really seen these places before. You don't really know their neighborhoods, but... You know, once you get in, you kind of get settled and get adjusted because it takes a couple of months to get acquainted to a new area.
Yeah, it definitely does. That's for sure. Did you use Facebook at all or like anything like that?
Not necessarily. I'm not a huge person on social media, but that's going to be a huge kind of deal. I know going into it, we had a kind of Facebook group going on. So yeah. I wasn't super active on it, but that can be a huge advantage for people.
Yeah, I think that was smart of you to ask. While you're at interviews, just ask around and get an idea of where to live and where not to live. Because being in New Orleans, there are some areas that, you know, you want to avoid because there are some not too safe. Yeah. Not too safe areas.
There was that one house that the Florida League guys were looking at that, you know, the rent was just unbelievable. Like, we thought it was great.
Super good deal.
And then, unfortunately, we started asking around and sent that address to a couple folks down here, and they were all immediately just like,
no,
absolutely not. Like, you're going to pay for it by getting broken into all of that. So.
Usually if it sounds too good to be true.
It is definitely too good to be true.
That you pay for what you get. Yeah. I think that's the motto of that story there.
And it's kind of neat, too. Like, that's one of the other reasons why I chose LSU is because during my interview time, just the people were always willing to help out. And there's other schools out there that they might be a little standoffish and don't really want to get involved with the younger students, let's say interviewees or D1s, D2s. And we're at LSU, at least during my interview time. And it proves true today. Like, everyone's down there to help each other out. Everyone's willing to give you an extra hand.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of similar for Marco and I, since there's so many people in our class that went to LSU or Louisiana Tech, and they know people in our class, and we don't really know people in our class. So was it hard for you to make friends in our class, even though you've never met any of these people?
So it's definitely a little bit different, but like I said, I was trying to put myself out there a little bit because I knew coming down here I wouldn't really know anyone. So it's up to you to kind of put yourself out of your comfort zone and meet people and just engage people and kind of talk to them and get to relate to them, because these people you're going to be spending the next 4 years of your life with. And when you're going through this process, you can make lifelong friends while being here. So it's important to put yourself out there and just, you know, take it how it goes. And luckily we have a great group of people in our class. So everyone was really willing to kind of accept me into everything.
Right. Right. And I think it's interesting. I remember witnessing and thinking back on the first couple of weeks of school. Everyone is super friendly with one another, but then there kind of goes into this cycle of breaking off into cliques almost and finding like your small friend group. But then that only lasted for a couple weeks, a couple months maybe in my opinion, before the class really started to get back together as like one big collective unit. Not that we don't have smaller friend groups within the class, but overall I think pretty much anyone could talk to anyone and hold a conversation in the class. Like, we're all close enough to do that.
Definitely. And the one thing you don't realize before you get into school is how much you rely on other people in your class.
Oh, yeah.
It's completely different from undergrad, to where you're kind of on your own and, like, people in your classes are competing against each other for different spots to get in schools, to where when you get in dental school, it all kind of changes. Everyone's in here for the same reasons. We're all trying to become great providers, and everyone's willing to just... whatever you need, you know, we'll help you out here. And one thing too, I guess, to revert back to being from a different area, I guess one of the things that helped me meet people is people were interested, you know, oh, you're from somewhere else? That's kind of strange. What's that like?
Why do you talk like that?
Exactly. What's the accent like? Yeah. And, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it was definitely one of those things that kind of helped me out. So for people who maybe looking to apply elsewhere out of their state or out of their region, that's another thing you guys can kind of think, that people are interested in that. People maybe haven't met people outside of their area. So
when taking into account like all of the different things when choosing dental schools, mm-hmm. how big was it like tuition? Because out-of-state tuition can be pretty big. So how big of a factor was that?
Yeah, it was a huge factor, actually. I mean, like, that's one of the things. Dental school is expensive. Everywhere you go, the tuition's pretty high, right? But all the schools in my general area, even I mean, in-state at the Rutgers program, that's a little bit cheaper than LSU, but for me at least. But everything else in that Northeast area, it's expensive. It's more expensive to me to go there than it would be to travel all the way down here and go to school down here. So that's one of those things that really came to my mind, like tuition was a big deal because I already have student loans out for undergrad and I already have student loans out for my master's. So it's one of those things when you can save, you try to.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Definitely.
Does make sense.
Yeah.
What are your plans after LSU School of Dentistry? Okay. What does it look like? You're going to move back home? You're going to specialize? What are we doing here?
I'm probably not going to specialize. I've considered it. But like I've said, it's a long time. Like when I get to this point, I've been in college for, 8 years now. I'm going to finish up with a 10 after dental school and then specialize anywhere from 2 to 6 years, right? So probably not as soon as I get out. I considered doing it, maybe going to private practice for a couple of years and really seeing what I really like, what am I good at, and kind of what services in the area probably need to be provided. So that's a good thing of way of thinking of it. But yeah, I'm going to keep my options open. I have a couple back before school when I was teaching. I was actually working in a dental office too, dental assisting. And a couple of dentists there have always piqued my interest. They always keep up to date with me. Hey, what's going on? How are you doing in school? What are your plans afterwards? So I have some people looking out for me, which is great. And it's good, I guess, for people who are undergrads looking to apply. When you do shadowing, try to make those connections with those people and stay in touch with them because further down the line, that can kind of pay off for you.
Exactly. We've spoken about that in previous episodes about the importance of having a mentor or at least just having some type of older figure in the dental field that can keep tabs on you and you can go to with any questions.
Yeah, someone to refer to. It's huge. I mean, even people within our organization with their faculty members, it's good to have someone in there when you're maybe struggling with something or you have a device or you just want to hear their story. It's great to get all these different ideas and stories from other people because you never know what route you're going to go down until you get there.
And I think you hit on a great point too because we've had a lot of people contact us about shadowing, and shadowing isn't so you can learn how to do things because you're not going to remember how to, like, you're not going to learn how to, you know, drill a class 2
exactly
shadowing, but you are going to be able to form those mentorships. And if you stay in touch with those people, could lead to a job or, and they continue to check in on you. So shadowing is more than just learning how to do stuff because you're not really going to learn how to do anything shadowing.
Yeah, a lot of things shadowing. I mean, you spend time sitting with patients, sitting with the provider who's treating them, but also take a look back and look how the office dynamics work.
Exactly.
How is everyone being treated there?
Yeah.
How does everyone seem? Are people approaching patients happy? Or like, how are these things working? Are things electronic? Are they using paper? How's the flow of the office? Are they constantly busy? Are they a little bit slow? These are things that you might not think about while you're shadowing. Until I kind of got to school, these are things that maybe like kind of click in your head a little bit, but when you're doing these shadowing hours, you should probably think about more the big picture than just the dentistry itself.
Definitely.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I love all of the commentary that Marco's adding in on this episode. Yes.
This information is correct.
It has been fact-checked.
So how about you guys? How about, why did you choose LSU? I know that...
What is happening right now? Are we...
My, how the turntables have turned.
I don't think we've ever been. Oh, we were interviewed the other day. That was weird.
Oh, yeah.
Wait,
which one was that? All Hail the Chief?
No, that one guy that entered.
We were in an interview. He still hasn't posted it. We got
so
to be
bad
on an episode of someone else's thing doing a show on a informational piece.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So
big time.
We're big time.
Like us, but not quite.
We're big time. Oh,
so,
sorry. Well, I don't even know what the question was.
No,
how
did you guys end up at LSU? I know you guys both interviewed at other places, and you guys both had different careers kind of before school. How about you guys talk about that a little bit?
I swear to God, if you bring up that you were a nurse.
Well, see, I was a nurse before I came to dental school.
Oh, so I'm guessing these are things you discussed before, huh?
No, I just love bringing up that I was a nurse and getting on Marco's nerves.
So I'll go first. No, I'm just kidding.
No, seriously, go first. I don't want to go. I'm over it now. Go.
Okay. So I had a couple different options. For me, Memphis was the closest dental school, but it was almost weird in the fact that that was like going to like my hometown university because they accept so many Arkansans, and it was it was closer to home for me than my undergraduate campus was.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to go there because I think in a similar fashion that you were saying, I wanted that growing experience of getting farther away. I got accepted to Louisville, but I was an out-of-state student there. So when I had three in-state offers on the table, that just wasn't feasible. It was a great program, beautiful school. And then it came down to here in Kansas City. It actually had a scholarship opportunity at Kansas City. And in hindsight...
Ooh, look at me.
In hindsight, it was a very generous scholarship. Like, I think back on, you know, what if I had taken it, but...
I wish you would have, honestly. My gosh.
Can you... I think about that a lot, though. If I had taken that and gone, I would have never met you.
I know, it's weird. It's
what so could have been?
What could have been? It's hard. I really missed out on.
But, no, so it came down to there or here in New Orleans. And for me, I know going to Kansas City, that was 3 hours away from where I went to undergrad. Mm-hmm. So I was going to be going back there a lot. I had a ton of friends moving to Kansas City versus New Orleans. You see patients your second year, and it was farther away than anything for me. And, you know, for myself personally, I was like, okay, I could potentially move to Kansas City one day and live there and have a family there, but I will never live in New Orleans unless I do it in my early 20s.
Yeah.
So came down here, and it's been a really growing experience. I didn't like it at first, to be quite frank, but now I've come to realize that I wouldn't have wanted to do my early 20s anywhere else. And I mean, I would argue that LSU Dental is the best school in the country. Like, no other school is going to give you the clinical experience that we do. I mean, we're in our fourth semester of school, and some of us have already seen almost 10 patients, and we're doing all our own injections. We're doing all our own restorations with little to no help. Sometimes you don't even have an assistant. So, yeah, I don't regret my decision one bit. I love it here.
Yeah, same with me. I mean, because with Arkansas, we have – there's four spots at LSU?
Yes.
For in-state. And then there's 20-something at Tennessee. There used to be a few at Texas A&M. I don't know if that's still a thing.
No, but even their out-of-state still cheap enough to make it
right.
Doable.
Yeah. So we have certain spots. So obviously I either want to go to LSU or Tennessee. But I've always been a big LSU fan. I've got a lot of family from Louisiana. Yeah. And
the Hogs.
And LSU, like Marco was talking about, the clinical experience here, unparalleled. It's just insane how good it is. And some of the dentists that I had shadowed went to LSU, and he was just telling me about that and loved it. When I toured LSU, I loved it. Tennessee didn't love it as much. So, and I think that's important too. You need to go tour it either during the interview or before the interview, just so you can get a feel of what the campus is like. Because I ended up loving LSU when I toured it, and Tennessee was, it wasn't. It wasn't LSU.
I agree with the whole tour idea too. I mean, you need to go check out the facilities for yourself. Meet the people that are there. Show your face. Try to meet one of the deans of admissions. It's a big deal getting some FaceTime with people and letting them know who you really are.
Definitely.
You can only learn so much from just seeing a piece of paper or seeing someone's application. There's only so much you can kind of pull from there. So.
Exactly. Is Aaron taking over our podcast right now?
Aaron is the new face of the Aaron Dental podcast.
I think he is.
That is it.
Are you trying to buy it from us? We'll sell it to
you.
I actually have
one more question for you guys, too.
Oh, God.
So you guys both moved in with each other with a couple other roommates as well the first year.
Oh, yeah.
How do you think that kind of helped you guys with kind of maybe motivating each other while you're...
I think we're being broken into.
it's the male person.
Okay. I was like, yeah.
Definitely live with classmates your first year.
I would have never done anything different. Like, it was the best thing that I could have ever done.
It was so much fun. You have that layer of accountability. You're like a child your first year. Like, you're an adult in an adult program. But in all actuality, you're just a child. Like, you don't know anything. The school is scary. You have like 1,000 questions, and it's just awful. So living with some of your classmates just makes the process so much easier. Now, your second, third, and fourth year, like as time goes on, a lot more people start to live by themselves because, you know, for some people, that might be the first time in their life where they haven't had a roommate, and they just want that experience or, you know, things happen. Like Clayton got married.
I got married?
Yeah.
I forgot again.
No, but like I tried moving in with you guys, and you're like, oh, like we want to live together as husband and wife, and I was like, but I could save you some rent.
Yeah, you have an extra room though, so.
Yeah, why'd you get a 2-bedroom then?
We have a garage that's empty. Can I get in there?
But yeah, I highly recommend living with classmates your first year.
And it was so cool too, because our house was big enough that we were able to have so many parties, and we just got to know so many people through that. I mean, it was incredible. Like I said, I wouldn't have done anything different.
Yeah.
I hated living with Marco, but golly.
I guess one more question, and that's going to be it for me. So, we all have dogs here.
Yeah.
How do you think going into dental school, having an animal or a dog in the house, kind of complicated things? Or if it didn't?
I think
it's
would
crazy. I wrote a whole Asda
article. Oh, no. Let's end the podcast now.
If I haven't mentioned it before, I write for Asda, so you can check out my 5 things to know about having a dog in dental school article. Asda blog.
So if you didn't learn anything from today, Clayton used to be a nurse, and Marco wrote for Asda, so that's it.
Getting. I think it would have been difficult if I would have started out with a puppy and had to potty train that first semester, but coming down with a dog that was already potty trained, that was somewhat okay behaved, it was fantastic because it's like a stress relief. I mean, they have pet therapy and things for a reason, because you come home and Marco doesn't kiss me and stuff, but my puppy dog does. He tried a few times, but I turned him down. And so like Emily not being here, so it was nice to come home and, you know, just have someone that loves you so much. So I think it was a huge stress relief just having a puppy dog to love on too. So I thought it was fantastic. Highly recommend it.
Yeah, definitely look up my article. It's
golly, I thought we were past that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm over it.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Oh, let's move on.
No, it definitely is nice having a dog to come home to, as long as you're kind of responsible enough to maybe come to home during lunch and kind of walk it, take it outside.
Exactly.
It can be tough. Like Clayton was saying, having a puppy may be an issue, or maybe a little bit tough in the beginning. And if you have roommates, that might help you out with that. That's awesome. Yeah. But it can be tough. So just
really
be,
can.
Be careful with that.
Emily and I just got a puppy because we didn't think getting married was stressful
enough.
So the puppy's 2 months old and is peeing everywhere and pooping everywhere. It's really fun.
Same.
It's, yeah. Marco poops and pees everywhere.
If you go to asdablog.com, you can see different
articles.
Just
turn the podcast off.
And one of them is What You Should Know About Owning a Dog in Dental School.
Can we edit this out?
By Marco A. Gargano on December 4th, 2019.
Give me a break. Aaron, so tell us something. What is some advice that you would have for an out-of-state student, or for a student with a lower GPA?
Yeah. Okay, both.
Not both.
Both.
You picked one. This has gone too long.
Yeah. I need to stop. So out-of-state student, I would say if you're going to be applying to these places, make sure you go for a visit. Make sure you see the school. Make sure you get some FaceTime with the people that are there, just because you don't want to be wasting whatever, $100, $200 on application fees, then a couple hundred dollars on a plane ticket, and then a hotel stay, this and that. So make sure you are confident that you want to go to this school in the first place. Don't apply to 10 schools and you know have to do all that traveling, because it's a lot. And then for people who maybe have a lower GPA, if this is something that you really want to do, don't give up on it. There's different avenues that you can kind of go down to make it happen. So that's pretty much kind of what I would say. And then for general advice for people who are just going to be in dental school and or maybe are in undergrad now, try to track your spending a little bit and maybe just realize where you can kind of cut things out on, because you don't realize kind of how much frivolous stuff that you buy and things that maybe you don't need. I would think about that, because all these loans that you do take out, if you are taking student loans out, you got to pay it back. So,
yeah, that's what sucks. You know, I was looking at my loan balance the other day and I was like, this is depressing, but at least right now the interest rates are paused. I just want them to pause them forever.
That would be nice. You know, just keep it until I pay them off and then keep on doing it for other people.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's solid advice too, because you really don't think about it sometimes, because you're applying to all of these schools and then you're like, wait a minute, I don't even want to live in Alaska or something. Does Alaska have a dental school?
Alaska does not have a dental really? School.
Really? Wow. I guess that's where I'm moving.
I guess I am so going to Alaska.
Next trip. There you go.
But yeah, I don't even want to live there. So make sure like you're applying to places you would actually want to go to.
Yeah. And to wrap up here, please tell us a funny story from your time in dental school.
Okay. Since we're in this house, I guess there's one that can happen after this house, right? Did you guys tell the story about Thanksgiving and going to... oh, no, that was the Christmas one, huh? When we went to the Hot Tin.
Oh, yeah.
You guys tell that story yet?
No, that story has not graced our podcast, but it needs to.
It does.
So it was Christmas time. We did a little sock exchange for everyone last year. This was pre-COVID, so
don't worry.
We can have big groups of people hanging out together, right? So we do a sock exchange, and everyone's having a little fun, you know, having a couple, you know, cocktails, enjoying themselves. And after that point, everyone Ubered to a certain bar in the city. So in the city, this bar, it's a hotel bar, but it's on the penthouse.
Well, we didn't take an Uber. Me, you, Sam Perry, and our driver.
Yes. We had a designated driver, for those of you thinking. Yes.
Marco's personal driver that he has.
Yeah, you know, it's convenient. It helped out in our situation. So this bar is on the penthouse of one of the hotels in New Orleans, and it's great because the big drawing attraction there is that you get to see the skyline and take pictures and stuff. And it's a really nice hotel bar, and the drinks are great and stuff. And at this point, we're getting kind of towards the end of our night, and everyone's, you know, maybe had a few too many. So one of our buddies goes, you know, into the bathroom, and, you know, he's doing his business, and he comes to get out, and the door's not open for him. He's not opening for him. I'm sitting there thinking, like, you know, we're about to get out of there. I was about to leave and go home, and 15 minutes goes by, 20 minutes goes by, and I still have no clue where he's at. I check my phone. He's like, dude, I'm stuck in the bathroom. Please get me out of here. I'm like, what? What's going on? So we go over, knock on the door, and he's like, dude, he's opening the door handle's moving, but he can't open it up. And lo and behold, one of our buddies comes over and just starts kicking the door in. And we finally get him out after busting the door. It was absolutely fantastic. What a great night to top off a great year for kind of us just hanging out together and really getting to know our classmates. That's what really, like, I think solidified kind of our class there. The sock exchange, having that story. It was fantastic.
And now the class of 2023 is not allowed there anymore.
Exactly. We are kicked out forever. Banned.
Our class picture
banned.
On the wall.
That's what it is. They were not happy with us. I remember there was a soda sitting like behind the bar there, and I was trying to be so sneaky and just like grab it. And they were like, sodas are free. Like, what are you trying to do here? The next morning I remember someone was like, okay, guys, like, what was your funniest story from last night? And the person in question was like, I got locked in a bathroom stall.
Yeah, someone kicked the door in when I was trying to get out. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, there's plenty of other stories I'm sure we could tell, but maybe not on this podcast. Just keep it PG.
I jumped a fence that night and landed on my face.
In someone else's yard and just started walking.
I was about to walk home, and it was like a 20-mile walk. It's fine.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, I appreciate
it. We're still here. We're D2s.
We are here. We're making it, boys.
I danced with one of our classmates' moms that night.
Okay.
Did you?
And we're going to end this podcast now. Thank you all so much for listening.
Anyway.
All right, boys. Well, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Thank you
so
much.
It's awesome. Long time coming. And
absolutely. We're so glad to have you here.
We will never let you live this down ever again.
Tell me something good Sunday. Ooh.
Roasting.
Ooh,
really? Wow. All right, boys. Yeah. Well, at least you'll know you'll get zero listeners then with this podcast. Just mention my name and like people will just not show up for it.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, but I appreciate it, boys. Love to do it again sometime with you. Maybe a couple years down the road.
Yeah, for sure. All right, oral surgeon Aaron Connell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got a dropout, Aaron Connell.
Endodentist, Aaron Connell.
Becoming a dental technician. Yeah. No, it's been great, boys. Thank you very much. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
So this has been your host, Marco.
And this has been your host, Clayton.
And you've been listening to the
Pre-Dental Podcast. He really threw me off there.
I know. I was trying to change it up.
You guys trying to clap hands or something? No? No clap hands?